I'm Steve Potter, and coming up later on Cityscape, the Black Reps production of A Raisin in the Sun. We'll talk to the director and a cast member. But first, the medical term is anosmia. Most of us take our sense of smell for granted, but what if you lost it? Today, in our soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, the story of a bartender who lost his sense of smell and the challenges that have followed for him as he works in the profession that he loves. Joel Clark is the bar manager at the Purple Martin. Welcome to Cityscape, Joel.
Thank you, Steve.
LaGaia Figueres is the executive editor of Sauce Magazine. Hi, LaGaia.
Hello, Steve.
Joel, you've been dealing with this condition for about a year, I think. Has it been a difficult time for you?
As an understatement, yes, it's been one of the most difficult times of my life.
LaGaia, you wrote an article about Joel that's in the November issue of Sauce. But he was actually part of an article that you'd done a few years ago.
Right. A few years back, I had been doing research on the best bartenders in the state of Missouri. So it took me all around the state. And Joel was at the time working at Pi in the Central West End. And he was really at the forefront of craft mixology here in St. Louis. And so he figured into that story as well. That's where I first got to know him.
And I love how you titled your article in Sauce Magazine, Shaken, because that, of course, refers to what a bartender does part of the time.
Thank you. Yeah, we thought that was kind of creative, huh?
Joel, before this condition, you'd been having over the years, I guess on occasion, you tell me, seizures of some sort.
Yeah, the condition, as my neurologists tell me, is generalized seizure disorder, which to me, as the doctors tell me, is they kind of shrug their shoulders and say, you've had more than one seizure, you'll probably have them again, so let's call it generalized seizure disorder. So it's not an epilepsy per se, but it is a form of epilepsy. It is just one of those things that my brain will decide to say, restart.
But you'd be out somewhere, say, and you'd feel maybe weak or dizzy, and you'd have to sit down and sort of pull yourself together.
The one time I was able to capture it, yes. The others that I've had, split second, no warning, other than visually, I get a little bit of a warning, but the doctors tell me, what feels like 5 seconds to me is literally your brain's sending an impulse less than the snap of a finger.
Right, and then you would just pass out. But then everything – so that had been going on for some time.
Mm-hmm.
But everything changed. You were on a trip somewhere in outstate Missouri, and you stopped at a truck stop. And I think you were quoted in LaGaia's article as this was an event that changed your life. What happened?
Absolutely. So it's very reminiscent of the first seizure I had, which was almost a grand mal, I would think. I was standing upright, looking at some gifts that I might bring from the Midwest to my nieces and nephews in the mountains, and it felt like the world turned into an oil painting, two-dimensional, and that would be that split-second thing I'm talking about. And then after that, I'm out, and muscles go rigid because when you seize, your muscles seize, and I fell backwards, and I landed on the back of my head. And the witnesses said somebody looked around thinking somebody just dropped a watermelon. Well, that was my head. Mm. And so the next thing I know, I'm on a gurney in an ambulance on the way to Blue Springs, Missouri Hospital, and I'd suffered a seizure. And I'd suffered them before, so it was kind of, let's get past this. And so hospital kept me. I stay with them for about 5-6 hours. And then the next 3 days are what really changed my life. The next few days of recovery, the fall caused a severe amount of pain. And it just does when you fall on your head like that. But the next, about 3 days later, I woke up, had dinner with my family, and realized that I wasn't tasting effectively. And then there was bacon on my plate, and I realized I couldn't smell the bacon. So the next morning, I told my brothers, my mom, my dad, I said, I have to go back to the hospital because something's wrong.
Do you have a sense of humor about it? Because I had to chuckle when I was reading the article, and I know you, it's not funny, and I don't mean to make it so, but the last thing you remembered was looking at a DVD of Duck Dynasty, and I thought, well.
I think anyone who knows me, and hopefully at the end of this interview, Steve, I do have an unbelievable sense of humor. I'm a Cubs fan. I have to.
We're sorry for you. But there were a lot of pieces in the journal that there was so much that we couldn't share. And if reading it over, there are a lot of moments where Joel just does have to laugh, and he's writing, you know, he's laughing while he's writing, and he, you know, he has to laugh at himself, because it is, if you can't laugh about it, you will cry.
Yeah, you mentioned the journal. I don't know if we brought it out, but Joel, you've been keeping a journal through all of this too.
Yes, at LaGaia's persuasion. When I got back to St. Louis, I the first person I reached out to was LaGaia, because I don't have a sense of smell. I don't have a sense of taste. And my trade is and has been this sort of craft cocktail scene, right, where we taste every drink before we give it to a guest. And I couldn't do that anymore. So LaGaia was a natural friend to call, her having her hands in everything about our industry.
Well, we should say this, too. For a number of years, before I took on the executive editor role at the magazine, I did have the beat of the drink column. And so I know all of the bartenders in town, and you pay attention, and they call you when they're putting on a new menu and that. So, you know, that's why, you know, I know Joel well enough.
Well, Joel, this is your livelihood, and all of a sudden you lose your sense of smell. Was there a time that you thought, I got to find a new career?
That's exactly why I called LaGaia. To see, are there consulting jobs, are there restaurant management jobs that you've heard of, because she would have her finger on the pulse. And we talked, and she calmed me down and said, you know what, why don't you start writing about this, because it makes sense. And I didn't think of that as a form of therapy. So she persuaded me as a peer, not as a piece for her magazine, but say, this will help you.
You brought your journal with you, Joel.
I did.
Would there be something you might want to share with us?
There's a quote that sticks out and that we all like. So currently I'm bar manager, managing partner at the Purple Martin in Fox Park. And we opened in March. And that was in the height of, am I going to continue to be a Nosemic or will it come back? So I was in the midst of struggling with all this. So right after we opened, I made this entry. It says, I just made it through the opening of the Purple Martin. I couldn't smell the fresh paint on the walls, the freshly cut salvaged wood, the few spilled beers, or the sweat and energy I'm used to walking into. I couldn't smell the lamb, the garlic, the harissa, or the vinegar. I couldn't hover over an earthly tempranillo. I couldn't and still can't taste a Jack Rose at Purple Martin. I believe it may be one of the best contemporary cocktails in the country, and I will make it an item at Purple Martin. I just wish I could taste one.
That's Joel Clark. He has lost his sense of smell, and he's a bartender by profession, a bar manager. LaGaia Figueres is also here from Sauce Magazine. She's written about Joel's journey in the November issue. Well, we only have 5 senses, so it would seem to me if you lose one, that's a pretty big deal. And the sense of smell, you lose your sense of smell, you can't taste, I want to say, correct, anything, but maybe it's a matter of degree. How bad is it for you?
The training that there's a whole movement called the craft cocktail movement, and it's gaining a foothold in the Midwest now, finally. But it started about 15, 16 years ago on the coasts. And so we have these training programs we can go to. There's one called Bar Smarts. It's a semi-annual program where you go and you just are inundated by the best in the market. And a section of that training is called the nose knows. Because you don't taste any of the glasses in front of you. You smell them, mm-hmm, put them down, write what you smell, guess what it is. And the nose does know. I used to be able to take a mixture or a concoction of a drink I would make and smell it, not taste anything, and say what it's missing. And your taste is 80% of what you smell.
Can you imagine, LaGaia? I mean, being the foodie that you are, if you lost your sense of smell, how that would affect your day-to-day life?
Absolutely. Well, and when I was doing the research, I was thinking, gosh, how can I try to experience this just to get, you know, a sense of what's going on?
Did you?
The easiest, well, you've done it too. You've had a cold. And when you have a cold, your ability to taste is impacted. Another one is just plug your nose. Bite into 2 things. Bite into an apple, then bite into a raw onion. And I'll tell you what, it's not going to feel that bad until you unplug your nose. And those are ways that we can think about, oh my gosh, you know, my nose is so intricately involved in that ability to taste and discern flavors.
Give your child some cough syrup. So have them plug their nose.
Right.
For
goes
sure.
Down easier.
And I think maybe if Joel, you know, I know we don't have a ton of time, but if you can tell people a little bit about how you do now go about crafting drinks because you don't have this.
Yeah, because, you know, Joel, if you're making a drink that you've made a million times before, I would think it'd be a no-brainer. But part
sure.
of your job is creating new drinks,
sure.
right? So
sure.
what's
Absolutely.
Yeah, what's the challenge?
It's very
here?
Cerebral. It's a matter of, and it takes me a long time, specifically for like writing menus. On the spot, it's more about doing what I know, taking ingredients that I absolutely know. But writing menus and creating programs for people who are paying me to do that, it takes me a good long time. But what I do is I write the recipes down, and I know these ingredients on their own. So I can kind of taste them in my mind and then put them together and balance them together. I just recently did a cocktail menu for a bar on Cherokee called Blank Space. And what I did was take 7 classic drinks I know, and I can taste them in my mind. I can do that. But what we wanted to do was incorporate hot tea and make another version. So I had to collaborate with them. I said, here's this drink. It's going to taste like this. Now let's pick a tea, and you guys tell me what the tea tastes like, and we'll match it together. So collaboration and my own sort of mulling over things.
What about your inner struggle? And what I mean about this, I would think it would be hard on your confidence. You lose your sense of smell. I mean, it'd be easy to give up and go, you know, get a construction job or something. But so I guess what I'm getting to is there must have been times where you thought, can I do this? Can I do it?
Yeah, read the first 3 months of the journals.
It's sprinkled throughout the journal.
Yeah, it is. And I still have random days where I do struggle. But I have a tattoo on my left forearm that says Plautina Sincero, which is Latin for March 4th.
Do you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to explain this condition to a customer or not?
Sometimes. A lot of times people know me. I mean, it's a very cloistered town. We all know each other. We go to visit each other. But yes, I do. I don't try to make it a point, but it comes up, and then people are just kind of wowed. Like, you did this without that. Interesting. Cheers.
What about how it affects your other senses?
Yeah. That was a big point that it took me a long time to realize, but my sense of touch has always probably been my most sensitive, but it is extremely more so now. Working in close spaces behind a bar, you have to kind of get around each other. Way more attuned to that now, but also human-to-human contact. When you shake someone's hand, a lot of times we take that for granted. I don't anymore. It means something.
Well, in the Gaia's article, she even talks about how sometimes when you grasp somebody with two hands, mm-hmm. their hand with both your hands, because of what you're just saying, it means more.
I mm-hmm. think, and as somebody who would, you know, saddle up to the bar, I think if you pay attention and watch, the things that he does are a little bit different. I love that he has a spoon in some of his drinks.
All right. I was just going to mention that. Joel has a cup of coffee here, and he's got a spoon in it.
Yeah.
But you also, instead of what LaGaia is referring to, is that instead of using straws in your drinks at work, you put silver spoons,
yeah,
small spoons.
It dawned on me that a plastic straw is kind of bland, generic, and we get them in a drink just to stir your drink. Why not have something a little more tangible and heavy that you can hold and also make noise with? And so I've begun doing that, and I keep little demi-tasse spoons behind the bar as garnish.
Yeah, in watching Joel, because I've known him as a bartender before and after, I do find it fascinating that he's become very cerebral about the interplay of flavors and textures and where else can Joel personally find pleasure in his job. And that is, well, let me put a garnish that's going to be so in your face visually. Let me give you sound. Let me shake your hand. And this is a form of hospitality that is, you know, evolved for him.
Hospitality equals community to me. When people sit at my bar, if they don't know the person next to them, I want them to.
So what I'm getting from this is you've taken something that really could have been a devastating thing to you personally and professionally, and you're trying to make it into a positive, or you have made it into a positive.
I mean, what else can I do? I mean, that's what my faith tells me to do, and that's if you don't do that, you give up. And I'm not going to give up.
Does this story surprise you at all, LaGaia? You know a lot of bartenders.
Bartenders are a really resilient group. No, I don't think it surprises me because we all have to cope. My goodness, we all have so many challenges, and you just get something tossed at you. And Joel, I think he's a pretty strong character. He also has a lot of support around him, and he knows where to find it.
On my way to the studio, I was walking down Del Mar, and there's a young lady walking a three-legged dog. And I just had to stop and think, that's beautiful. We all have our struggles. We all walk. But that's so indicative of what all of us have to do.
I think that sort of sums up everything right there. What's ahead for you? Do you plan to continue bartending? Or
It's my path. It's my life, yeah. What's ahead remains open, as it should. I'm currently interviewing with national groups, local groups. I love the Purple Martin. I love the people there. I love Blank Space, the people there.
I think you've got an event coming up in December, mid-December,
yeah,
don't
you? Yeah, we do. KT Ayers and I, the chef at Purple Martin, are doing a cocktail dinner pairing at Kitchen Conservatory. We are very much looking forward to that. It's sort of one of those events where you get to shine and you're on stage.
That's Joel Clark. He's bar manager of the Purple Martin. LaGaia Figueres is the executive editor of Sauce Magazine, and you can read about Joel's story in the November issue, which is still around.
It's still around.
Where people could probably go online and find it, too.
They can. Pick up a print issue. That's pretty.
Yeah. The tangible part's much better.
So thank you both for being here, and I'm glad, Joel, that you're able to keep a sense of humor about it, because I imagine you've heard, I was going to say, not being able to smell really stinks. And I thought, is that too easy?
You know what? When most people come up and say, hey, I read your piece, it's so inspiring, and thank you for sharing, I just look them in the eye, shake their hand, and I say, I made it all up. No, it is what it is, but we go on. We keep going.
Well, we wish you the best. I'm going to come down and see you at the Purple Martin.
Please
thanks,
do, Steve.
Thanks so much. LaGaia Figueres, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, A Raisin in the Sun. This is St. Louis Public Radio.